Hey, has this ever happened to you? You're at a table of friends or colleagues, and half the people are staring at their cell phones instead of talking to one another. Well, writer David Roberts knows this better than most people. A couple of years ago, the star blogger for Grist.org knew he was way too plugged in when his 7-year-old son said to him, "All you do is sit on your computer and say blah, 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 blah." Well, David Roberts was in a position where he could unplug, and so he did, for one full year. He writes about that experience in an article for Outside Magazine, and he told Marcy Selman what it was like.
The first day I unplugged, I got up, I woke up early like I was accustomed to doing, or semi-early, and instead of getting out of bed, I just grabbed my book and laid in bed reading for about 2 hours, which honestly sounds like not much, but is so incredibly luxurious to me. I mean, those first few days were sort of disorienting, like, I had spent so much time and internet stuff had taken over my life so much that I didn't really I didn't have any hobbies. It took me a while to figure out, well, how does one fill one's day if one's not at a computer? It took me a little while to settle into a rhythm and to find activities that were pleasant. But, you know, I just get these surges of angst. Like, I should be doing something else. And, you know, even though I wasn't supposed to be doing anything, just my body was so accustomed to that, those surges of adrenaline and those surges of kind of whatever, that I still got those for weeks afterwards. And it sort of became nice after a while. Like, I'd get a sort of twinge and then I'd remember, oh, I actually don't have to be doing anything but what I'm doing right now. It's a nice feeling. You know, I had some withdrawal symptoms at first, but I found just being with myself and not constantly broadcasting my every thought, I found it quite easy and pleasant.
Really? So no, your fingers didn't twitch? You didn't sort of reach for the phone or laptop?
I still would find myself periodically getting my phone out and staring at it. And I had uninstalled everything. You know, I uninstalled everything and nobody was emailing me and there's nothing to look at on the phone. I would look at it for a few seconds and be like, wait, what am I? There's nothing here to look at.
So you took preventative action.
Yes, exactly. I cut it off so that I was unable to cheat, more or less.
You have thousands of followers. People were pinging you. How much did that define who David Roberts is, and how did getting away from that change your sense of self or your self-worth?
Yeah, it's I have about 37,000 Twitter followers now, which is more than most people, but a lot fewer than, you know, Justin Bieber or whoever. But it's enough that it starts to become, online life starts to become a kind of a performance. Like you're creating a persona, especially in journalism, which I'm in. Everybody, journalism is, the business end is such a mess now that every journalist is sort of on their own and they have to become, for lack of a better term, a brand. They have to become known for something, and that means being visible all the time. So it was a huge chunk of my life that was basically performative. I was this online persona. And I enjoyed that, and I liked my online persona, and in a lot of ways, I liked him more than I liked my in-person persona, you know. But cutting that off, for weeks afterwards, I would see something pretty, or my kids would say something cute, or something would happen, and instantly, a 140-character summary of it would pop into my head, fully formed, you know, and I would sort of think, you know, not consciously, but sort of subconsciously, I'd think, like, what good is this if no one hears about it? Like, is this experience even real? Or why would I even bother having this experience if I don't get to share it with, you know, if people aren't seeing it? And it took a while for that to go away. But it did after a while. And, you know, I spent a lot of time just letting my brain kind of wander and daydream, which I hadn't, hadn't done in a while. That's the thing. If you're filling up all those little moments of your day, if every time there's a pause or a break or you're bored or you're standing in line, if all those moments get filled up with pings and Twitter and you're checking your phone and you never, you know, those little sort of interstitial moments, you fill them all up, your brain never has the chance to just wander and dream and drift around and subconsciously chew over things. And it turns out your mind, your brain needs that. And you get it's unhealthy to do one kind of activity with your mind to the exclusion of all others. Just like you need variety in your physical diet. You need time to daydream. You need time to play. You need time to focus on one thing for an extended period of time, which the internet makes almost, you know, really, really difficult.
So 12 months later, do you yearn to fill your brain with stimulating intellectual thoughts again?
God, no. I sort of thought after a year, I was like, I'm going to miss this. But really, honestly, like, no. Like, I feel like I could go on doing nothing but dishes and yoga for the rest of my life. I mean, maybe eventually I would itch for it. But no, at no point on my break did I think, oh, I miss writing long articles about climate change.
I'm talking with David Roberts of grist.org. One thing that has happened with the convenience of everything being online is that we are always online and available to our employers. It's not necessarily that we're playing games on our phones, but we're always working in it, at least as far as your own life, it kind of incrementally, insidiously takes over.
I mean, it's just the device itself. It's sort of all our recreation and our reading and our shopping and our working are all through the same interface now. So you can't really do any of those without being adjacent to all the others, which means almost everything you do, you're also kind of working. You're also kind of half working, half not working, but you're never entirely not working, hardly ever anymore.
You were very lucky to be able to take a year off.
I'm very aware.
So it's not really practical for most of us to totally be able to unplug. So what is the happy medium?
Well, I mean, I'm always hesitant to talk about this because, you know, I'll be back here in 2 months, right back in the worst of it, and will be rendered a total hypocrite. But I mean, I think there are simple things that anybody can do. And one of them is just take regular breaks. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it sounds simple, but you really have to force yourself to do that. You have to schedule things, not just sort of rely on yourself, but schedule regular breaks. Another thing you can do, which is simple but has really helped me since I got back, is just turn off all the push notifications. All those little, when your email comes, you get a bing, tweet comes, you get a bing. You're constantly being pinged and pinged and pinged. And every one of those distractions costs you a few seconds, and it costs you a few IQ points, as the science shows when you're trying to do two things at once. So you can turn all those off, and then you check your email when you decide it's time to check your email rather than when your email program decides you should check it.
How is this year of being unplugged going to – I mean, you are back at work. So how will that experience affect you going forward?
Well, I've got this sense of calm now, you know.
Like, how long have you been back?
Yeah, almost 2 days. We'll see how long it lasts. But you know, I've got this sense of kind of calm and peace now. And, you know, it used to be – before I was leaving, I had this just constant sort of angst and anxiety, and I had become so accustomed to this constant ping, ping, ping feedback that anytime I didn't have it, you know, my heart started going, and I would just grope for something, like, somebody give me a ping, I need a ping. And that's faded after a year, and I really don't want to go back to that. So I'm going to try to moderate my use and time it, you know, just have scheduled times when I'm tweeting or on email lists or all that kind of internet stuff, and then times when I'm not, when I'm just concentrating and doing one thing at a time. And we'll see how successful I am.
One thing you describe so vividly is that you spend a lot of time just looking out the window at things, looking at the world. Is there any kind of visual reminder that you have now at your desk that you can look at and remember that time?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm going to use timers as sort of as kind of irritating as that is to me, but you know, it doesn't happen naturally, so I have to time it. So I'm just going to use timers, and rather than reminding myself, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go outside every 2 hours or so and just walk around the block or play with my dog a little bit or just go out and look at stuff. Just, you know, a picture on a computer screen is not enough for me. I just, and the science shows that even 5 minutes in just a natural setting around trees or grass or anything, even urban nature, it doesn't, you don't have to go on a hike or anything. Even that 5 minutes has an incredible calming effect on your brain and your heart rate. And when you come back from that, after your brain's relaxed, your memory is better. Your attention span is better. All your cognitive, you know, your cognitive facilities work better after that. So it's good for your work too. You just got to force it to happen.
David Roberts, I hope you hold on to that feeling.
Thanks.
Dave Roberts, blogger for grist.org. His article about the year without the internet called Reboot or Die Trying. It's published in the October issue of Outside Magazine. He spoke to KUOW's Marcy Silman.